Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the January 6th Committee Hearing Eve Edition. Dom, it's going to play out live tomorrow all across the Civic Media Network, starting live noon Central Time. Tune in tomorrow for that. And we, of course, will do the post-game coverage, Dom. But we welcome back a fine guest. I've got him here in the World Headquarters in the Madison Studio. He is Sage Weil, my partner. He is the CEO of Civic Media. And this organization, Sage, has been on the grow. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, first and foremost.
Hey, Sage.
It's good to be here.
Now, can we all hear Sage? Did Crudy almost forgot to turn on his mic?
Rookie. Yeah, I can hear him just fine.
Awesome, awesome. Sage, it's been a very busy summer for this organization. We've rolled out a lot of new radio stations. And, you know, I get to have the fun part. I get to go announce them on the air, man. But you've had so many real estate and business closings this summer. You got to have the worst summer ever, dude.
Yeah, a lot of legal documents, a lot of time on the phone with a lawyer. Not my favorite part of the day, but it has to be done. So,
and Sage, the newest addition to the Civic Media lineup is the WISS, the Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3, yes. 1100 AM in Oshkosh.
Very exciting.
That is our first entree into the Vox Valley. But there will be more. We'll be
there
coming
will
to
be more. That's right. Yep.
Green Bay, Brown County will be coming to Title Town. You know, everyone calls it Title Town. We'll have to see what we call the station up there. But we're very excited about that. And I was just in Amory earlier this week. We're up there with the Lake Air in Amory. That's sort of Minneapolis outmarket, if you will. So we're excited to be up in that part of the state. We got Hayward coming at some point soon. Another country station in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And, you know, I've done a little driving myself this summer, Sage. Yeah. And I got to tell you, no part of this state doesn't at least have some distant AM coverage. Yes. I cannot drive out of a Civic Media, out of the network any longer. I mean, we've got coverage damn near everywhere.
Just about.
Are we getting close to your vision for this network, Sage?
I would say we're getting close. In my mind, the success is to reach every part of the state in one form or another, so at least everybody has some coverage. But that's only part of the story, I think. It's not just a matter of everybody having a station to listen to. In an ideal situation, you have a station that is also locally focused on a community that you can identify with as well. So, in some ways, this is a little bit different than probably most other people in the industry think about it. Like, big signals aren't necessarily what you want, because you really want, in my ideal situation, we would have lots of small signals so that you can have true hometown radio that you identify with, that speaks to your community and the people that you work with.
Well, out of ego, if nothing else, Sage, can we have some big signals too, man?
We got some of those. Yes. So in fact, if you go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, there is a new link on there where you can click on a coverage map. That's a beautiful interactive map. You can see all of our current radio stations that are on the air,
and
which is pretty exciting.
More to come.
More to come.
Sage, for those that perhaps didn't hear you the first time you joined us here on the Devil's Advocates, what is the larger mission of Civic Media? Why build this network?
I think it's in the name. And it's funny, we thought a long time about how we were going to name the company. But it was really only after we picked the name that I think it really hit home for me. in my mind, the real mission is to encourage and build greater civic engagement, to get communities, people more involved in their local communities and get them more involved in the society that we all participate in. And part of that is political, not all of it. I think just strengthening communities in and of itself is a huge win. But also, I think people need to be more aware of what's happening in their local politics, state politics, and to some degree, national politics, too. I want people to be more aware of the issues. I want them to have factual, good information, and I want them to have access to, a good, lively, reasonable, good faith discussion of those issues so that they can make informed decisions.
You know, Sage, as I've gone out into some of these communities, I tease people. I met a Trumpster the other day, or at least a guy who says he's very supportive of Ron DeSantis's future presidential candidacy. And I did business with the guy, and I thought to myself, that's the way it always was. I don't remember in this state where we used to lead with politics. Yeah. But I feel like that is the way it is now. There are lots of people that look at each other skeptically. Is he on my team? Is he on the other team? Is he part of my tribe? You're not from Wisconsin originally. You grew up in Oregon, if I remember your biography. And most of your success came in California, where you went to college. But now you're here. You got a family here, and your wife's here at the UW Hospital. So you're part of this dysfunctional state that we now live in, Sage.
Ground zero, yes.
And I know you put down, Chuck Todd, we're not huge Chuck Todd fans, but Chuck Todd basically said what has happened in the country really started here in the state of Wisconsin. And I blame it on Scott Walker and the recall and Scott Walker's 50+1 sort of governance. But Sage, now that you're here, man, what's your impression of the state and how do we make it better?
I mean, so this is the first time I've lived in a state where I felt like my vote mattered. So we arrived here right before the 2016 election, right before Trump was elected. And that was a rude awakening for all the reasons. But I think it's been really exciting and really nice because it feels like, I think the biggest impression I have of Wisconsin is that people are friendly. When we moved into our new neighborhood, we met all the neighbors and they all walk their dogs. They're walking along. They just say hi. People are just start talking to you.
Did they bring you casserole, Sage? That's a very Wisconsin thing to do.
We got some other things. We got some fudges and some whatever. Yeah. No casserole, sadly. Or fortunately, however you want to look at that. But it's very different from California, Oregon, or other places that I've lived. I lived in LA for, I was 8 years in the same house, and I knew three of my neighbors, and there were some neighbors where I don't know if I'd ever actually seen them because they're just always inside their houses. It's just it's a very different environment. And maybe that was partly a function of the neighborhood we're in. But I think that Wisconsin is really exciting and it gives me a lot of hope because the people are so friendly. And I think at the end of the day, there is a lot more that we all have in common than that we disagree with. And so that's sort of the thing that always gives me hope and motivates me. But it's also, I think this moment is a particularly challenging one because there are some, certain parts of our politics where it feels like people are just crossing all these lines that were never okay to cross before. Like we have openly anti-democratic candidates running for office that won't say that they'll accept the outcome of the election. And the idea that you would ever vote for somebody who would not concede just blows my mind. So, but I don't know what to make of that. You have to hold two ideas in your head at the same time and realize that everything's a shade of gray and do the best you can. But
Dom shook hands with a election denier in Donald Trump and had many beers with another one in Ron Johnson.
Back in the old days, Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media. Thanks for coming around, man. Mm-hmm. That's the challenging part. And I know Crudy says I'm an absolutist sometimes, but when you talk about a candidate that won't commit to acknowledging and living by the outcome of a free and fair election, I mean, I don't know how do you negotiate with semi-fascism or with fascism. So to me, it's not, I mean, I'm down. I mean, I get it. People have different opinions, different backgrounds, different life experiences. I totally understand that. I mean, I voted for a range of candidates and political parties in my life. I mean, I totally get that. I mean, I in some ways represent that. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, I would never vote. If a Democrat, if Bernie Sanders, I'm a big Bernie fan, if Bernie Sanders got up and said, I'm running, and if I lose, I'm not going to stand, I'm not going to accept the loss. I am going to be your president. I would freak out. I would vote against that. So while I'm down with having a beer with some friends, and I have lots of conservative friends and friends that don't engage whatsoever, and I think there are some people, certainly lots of people out there that can be swayed one way or the other, but there are some lines that I think that cannot be crossed, and not accepting the results of a free and fair election, Sage, to me is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in my mind, I look at it in terms of the short-term immediate problem of this election, and then the long-term solutions that address the root causes of what brought us to this point. And obviously, you can't ignore the short-term challenge that you have candidates running for office who don't believe deep down that aren't committed to democracy. And you just have to shout that from the rooftops and try to get people to listen. I also think that if we can educate more of our listeners about what the structural long-term solutions are that actually address the polarization that led us to this point, then we can get them on board.
Sage,
yes.
Sorry to interrupt. As we have rapidly assembled this network, something that's been a little surprising, not that suddenly we're getting calls from political sorts, but the fact that we're suddenly getting calls from, let's call it, right-wing super PACs. And that creates a little bit of a moral dilemma and a business dilemma and a political dilemma. And when we come back, Sage Weil, our fine guest, he is the CEO of Civic Media. And we have been assembling this statewide network, and we're not quite there yet. We're not all the way there. We've got big plans for this state. But we've also got some quandaries. And, let's do some thinking alouding on the radio. And then we'll let Dom be a bubble burster for a bit. We'll have some fun. It's a Wednesday. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll also keep the lines open for you at 844-967-2789. Civic Media, growing statewide all across the great state of Wisconsin. If you haven't found the app yet, you're not a true patriot. What are you doing? Go get the app and come back more with Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media.
I don't know, man. I'm half inclined to just read.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Sure.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to the civicmedia.us website. You can find the shows and listen to podcasts and interviews.
Yeah, the website, shiny and new, civicmedia.us. We've got the CEO of Civic Media. He's here with me in the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. He is Sage Weil. And Sage, we've been assembling this network of super cool radio stations trying to localize coverage, bring hometown radio and support it with a network and local journalism and high school sports and all the things that make local radio great. But what I didn't expect was suddenly there's tremendous interest. Hey guys, the whole track team just ran by. There's tremendous interest in suddenly putting messages out here on the network, Sage. And we have this quandary. We didn't realize right-wing super PACs were going to be so willing and wanting of our airtime. Now, I love when, the fine candidates and any candidate that qualifies for the ballot, they have access to the airwaves. Unless they're slandering their opponent, they can buy ads here and they get a preferential lowest unit rate cost. That's what the government says we should do, and that's exactly what we do. What about the super PAC, Sage? When the National Republican Senate Committee wants to crap on Mandela Barnes and they want to buy time on our airwaves, what do we do then?
That's the, what is it? It's not the $50 million question. $30,000 question, whatever. I don't know what the right number is, but
well, yeah. Let's not define how much money is on the table currently, sir. But you know, it starts adding up, and it's multiple different outlets. It's not just the NSRC, and it's not just the right. We've also accepted super PAC ads from the left. There's currently a group out there talking about Ron Johnson and the probability, based on his prior actions, that he's going to cut Social Security or Medicare benefits. And they said, you know, be very afraid. It could cost you your life or something like that. Literally. Well, you know, even that tone, you know, that is the tone of all these political ads in the cycle. You know,
it's hyperbolic.
So and so, it is very hyperbolic. I told Dom if it's like 73% accurate, that's a pretty good level. But we have an we have a standard, at least on this show. Dom and I have always tried to tell the truth. So what if the Republicans, and this is specifically, I'm not making this up, we have an example of a local Republican party that wants to advertise here, and what they're saying is literally true. They're citing a source. They can say, here are the facts. But they're inconvenient facts. And the Republicans, they don't even acknowledge the outcome of the last election. Some of them, many of them, are anti-democracy. So even if what they're saying is true, do I have to repeat it? Do I have to play it? What do you think, Sage?
Well, I mean, there are a number of different ways to look at this question. I mean, we don't have to. We aren't obligated to accept PAC ads. In fact, one of the stations that we bought, or pair of stations, the previous owner accepted no PAC money. They only took candidate ads. And that's certainly one option. And it's defensible. It's not like people like political ads.
But we're in the politics business, man.
Exactly, yes. But I mean, I think that's a pretty rare case. I think probably all of the other radio stations that we've been buying, the previous owners have taken any and all comers.
If you write a check, they cash it. That's been my experience with radio guys.
And in fact, I think we've had this interesting experience negotiating to buy radio stations where it really feels like the seller is slow walking us through the process because they want to capture all the ad revenue for this particular political season.
Because they're getting paid.
They're getting paid.
Yeah, and often they're getting paid by right wing, be it the Michaels campaign, the Ron Johnson campaign, the NRSC, all these outstate, and I keep bringing this up to our audience here, Sage, they're playing all across the state. This state is filthy with radio ads. I don't think the Democrats always do a good job answering, but that's a different conversation. The conversation I want to have is, you know, those that want to use the radio airwaves are primarily, or at least many of them, are Republicans. And I'm not speaking for you, Sage, but I don't necessarily like all those guys. Yeah. So do I have to do business with people I don't like? You know, I don't even like to get out of bed and talk to people I don't like. I make the exception for Dom, but...
You're welcome.
But
what's your
thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it feels like this is an existential moment for democracy. And I know that sounds dramatic, but it really feels like if we elect Michaels, then there is a high probability that it doesn't matter how the vote goes in Wisconsin in the 2024 presidential election, because he'll still do a slate of electors for whoever the Republican nominee is. And that's not something you can take lightly. So I don't want to run ads for any candidate that is aligned with anti-democratic candidates.
You know, I don't mean to characterize your net worth, but you just paid cash for a number of radio stations. You have pointed out to me you don't necessarily need their money either. Now, I'm flummoxed by that thought, but I need everybody's money. But you, per se, in this business plan, you did not factor in right-wing super PAC money to make this go.
No, that was not. No, and I think I don't really know. I don't know the radio business well enough to know what, like, portion of the overall, you know, multi-year revenue stream political accounts for. But it kind of feels like it's dessert or the frosting on top or whatever when you have every 2 years you have these active political seasons.
And unlike myself, you're a skinny guy, so you don't need the desserts. You often pass on the desserts. You don't agree with all the messaging. So, Sage, what resolution we come to?
Well, I've been grappling with this for the last couple of days. For a while yesterday, I was convinced that the right path forward was to draw a hard line on any organization that supports anti-democratic candidates, that supports election subversion or voter suppression or actively spreads misinformation, disinformation about elections. And that felt like a clear, bright line that we could draw. The problem is that that basically just applies to every Republican, or almost every Republican these days, and no Democrats. And so you can't make that kind of distinction and not be viewed as partisan.
Well,
how do you navigate that situation? I mean, the problem is it's the truth. And so we actually, whatever. Yeah.
We need more time to tell the truth. Yes. Otherwise, you come off as absolutist, Sage. More Devil's Advocates will bring Sage Wild back from Civic Media.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a load of money.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. We're happy to announce we've got Sage Weil. He's the CEO of Civic Media, my business partner, and the creator of the Civic Media Network. And also the arbiter of whether or not we want to accept right-wing super PAC money. And you know, my boy Dominic's been giving me a little bit of grief, Sage. Like he thinks we might be inconsistent in our attitudes here. You're gonna talk trash.
Yeah,
on the radio,
hell no! Don't take that money. Oh yeah, there's just so many ways to go with this. And so first, let me start out with this. Both you guys and Sage and Kurt. I know you've been working.
Let me start
really...
by saying, Fancy Brian, if you could please cut off Dominic's mic. We're not listening to Dominic's opinion, but go ahead.
You worked very hard. And Kurt, I know you've had this vision for a long time, so I appreciate the efforts both of you are making, and I love the fact that this thing is actually growing and coming to fruition. And I recognize it. You know, being around this radio industry, you know, it's a tough business, and revenue is revenue, and you know, you gotta sell ads. That's what the whole thing is about if you want to keep it going. That being said, you know, we have a particular scenario in which Sage, I mean, you're the majority owner here, and you're a moneyed man. We are also in a situation where we have very strange political crosswinds, let's put it that way, and a political cycle that's going to wrap up in less than 4 weeks. So if I look at all those different scenarios and see what the mission, as I understand it, of Civic Media is, I think it's hard to say yes, we'll take these super PAC ads. Number one, as mentioned, you know, a lot of the Republicans that are going to be supported by these ads are anti-democratic, are election deniers. I love talking about, you know, what the tax rate should be. These are fundamental questions of governance and self-governance. Those are logical. But, you know, we have to get to that point. We have to have the privilege of talking about those kinds of, let's call them, mundane issues when we already understand and appreciate and recognize how a democracy is supposed to work. So in that regard, a lot of these stations around the state of Wisconsin or in other markets that are, as Crudy mentioned, filthy with these same kinds of ads already in all these other stations. So that whatever message that those folks want to get out is already out there. So for Civic Media to then go on and take those, well, it's just the same of the same old. You know, they're going to get the same, those people that are listening or tuning in, you're going to hear the same ads on this station as it would on those other right-wing or churchy stations. So I'm not clear, again, given that we have, you know, less than 4 weeks to the election, a limited amount of time to take that money, that it's actually worth the heartache to cash those checks.
Are you finished, Salvia?
I am now.
Let me make the contrarian's point of view. Now, we've been to court, and I'm talking to you, Salvia, for the now's sake. We've been to court a couple times. What's our defense always been, if you'll recall?
I don't know. Which time? Free speech?
The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we hometown radio or not? Because in most of the hometowns that I've been to all across the state of Wisconsin, Republicans live there as well. They do. And I don't agree with the attitude of a guy like Ron Johnson that would try to hand off democracy on January 6th. But do the local Republican parties, do they have the right to come take a seat at the table? Are they part of our hometowns? And do they have the right, if what they're saying is factual and truthful, are we afraid of their inconvenient truths?
Well, no, certainly not. But I would say this. Number one, it's not a First Amendment issue. The First Amendment applies to the government coming down on you, not a radio station declining to take fascist ads. You know, a radio station declining to take fascist ads is not the government coming down on your free speech. So I disagree wholeheartedly with your premise. That being said, certainly, if a local party wants to stand up and say, hey, we're the local Republican Party, and we believe in smaller government and less taxes and vote Republican. I mean, sure, I guess. But what is the end result of that? They're going to vote for Michaels. They're going to vote for Ron Johnson. And what is the result of that? Two guys that will say that they're not going to accept the result of the election if they don't win. I'm sorry, Sage. Go ahead.
I mean, I think, yes, this is not a First Amendment issue. That's true. And it bugs the hell out of me when people start talking about the First Amendment. And
yeah, Crudy.
Anything that's not the government. Congress shall make no law. But I think the bigger point there, though, is that we want these stations and this network to be a public forum for respectful, good-natured, you know, a good faith environment where you can have these kinds of discussions and debates, right? And so the question is, do these ads add to that debate or not?
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I mean, I'm totally open to the argument that, like, they're hyperbolic, they're sensational, that doesn't add anything to the conversation, sure. That would be a reason to dismiss them. But then we would dismiss all PAC ads. And that's probably an easier and a cleaner position to take.
But then you also...
But at the end of the day, like...
do you then also limit yourself from accepting all third-party spending? Yeah. Because there are lots of good governance groups out there that are also trying to message right now. People like Souls to the Polls. People like our friends at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign trying to inform people how to go out there and vote. But from a partisan perspective, telling people how to vote to some comes off as very partisan because they don't want you to vote, Dom.
See, this is why my only real good idea here was to come down on the line of whether you're pro-democracy or not. That feels like that's a bright line. If you are running in a democratic election for a democratic office, then you must support democracy. And if you're not, then like that's a disqualifying attribute.
What if Derek Van Orden wants to buy ads though?
Well, he's a candidate, and so he can. Because we accepted some candidate ads, and so we have to accept all candidate ads in that same time slot, whatever the rules are, right? But if there is a super PAC that wants to support Van Orden, I don't want to run those ads, right? Because I don't, but that's the problem. I can't do that without being perceived as partisan. And I can't swear on the radio. It's a little challenging.
It is regulated. It's not a First Amendment right.
Not on the public airways.
Brian, did you have something to throw in there?
The problem is when democracy becomes partisan. And that's what's so galling about this entire situation is that you have only, here's my real pet peeve, is that we only have two political parties. And so in any other situation, if one political party went, you know, full on fascist, then you would just not vote for that party and have other parties that could realign on particular issues and you build different coalitions of support. But because we're stuck in this obnoxious two-party system where you literally only have two choices, then you can't be anti-democratic and not like pro-democrat, which is just obnoxious. Which is why what I really want to do over the long term, you know, ignoring that there's the short-term issues of like not electing fascists, I want to educate our listenership about the existing well-understood reforms that could address that problem that people just need to learn about so they can go talk to their local representatives and put pressure on them in order to make some changes.
Fancy Brian, you had a contribution for the panel?
Yeah, well, once upon a time when we were a different entity, we took money from candidate at the time, first-time candidate, Brian Stile. Now, I would not necessarily consider him anti-democratic, but again, he's done some things that maybe have contributed to anti-democracy. The curious case of Brian Stile brings up the where is the line and how does that line get established and where do we, you know,
well,
that type of thing.
Candidates, we would have to, if Brian Stile wants to advertise, we would have to accept Brian Stiles ads. And Derek Van Orden, this insurrectionist from the third CD, also, we would be legally required to accept those ads.
Equal access.
But, you know, there are other groups out there. I mean, everybody's throwing money and it's the XYZ for the PDQ organization.
Right. Or it's the Republican Party of Richmond County, or it's the National Republican Convention, whatever. Like, there, it's not, it's the parties too. It's not, as long as it's a not a candidate, then we have discretion.
Yes, and I guess to that point, guys, the you're going to come out, you're already partisan, right? It doesn't matter whether you think your efforts to
back. I'm not
partisan. You're going to be partisan or not partisan. It's already perceived as partisan. You know, I mean, whether or not it was Bernie Sanders, if it was Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden, you know, they're both the socialist. You know, it's already been framed. It's already there. So that if that is a concern to come off sounding partisan, well, if upholding democracy is a partisan thing, then count me as partisan. Now, as a guy who's voted for Republicans, Libertarians, and Democrats, I am probably the most objective, least partisan guy there is on this panel.
In your own mind.
In my own mind. So in that regard, I mean, I have the voting track record to prove it, and some of the grief that goes along with that. But I'm not clear that you know, other than the hassle of having to go through and listen to and determine yes, no, yes, 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 no, yes, no, yes. We're already partisan, guys. I mean, that's already there. The label's already stuck.
Well, we didn't make or claim the left. And I am not here, and I think I've made this absolutely clear in the 10 years I've been doing this. I'm not here to serve the Democratic Party, Dom.
Sure.
Or Tony Evers or anyone
100%.
Else. They got to serve their own needs, right? I'm just here to provide a platform of truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, and sometimes, you know, I'm not always happy with the governance of the left. But if you say we are a platform of the partisan left, I would say, au contraire, that is not true. That is not the vision. That is not why we're working our asses off over here. It's not the prop up.
Yeah, but if
left.
You guys are discussed at any right-wing talk radio program, Sage and Crudy, do you think they're going to look at you as nonpartisans?
But here's the thing, that it doesn't matter what the right-wing talk radio hosts call us or the right calls us, like, that's irrelevant. No matter what we do or what we say, they're going to say we're lefty crazies, right, from Madison.
Marxist, communist,
yeah, we're socialists, progressives. We're socialists from Madison.
Can we characterize you really as a matters? Capitalist, at least, as a corporate owner?
Right. I'm already lefty capitalist, I'll put it that way. But no, I think the larger...
They're going to nail us no matter what we do.
The larger question is what our listener base thinks of us, right? Because we need to build credibility with our listeners. And my goal is not to speak to the left and, like, you know, turn out more voters in Madison and Milwaukee or whatever it is. That's not what I'm here to do. That's somebody else's job. That's Souls of the Polls or whoever it is, right? My job is to reach the vast swath in the middle, not the 15% in the poll that calls himself independent, but the huge, I think it's like 60-70% of the electorate that is frustrated and dissatisfied with both political parties and voting for the lesser of two evils. Because that's, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with all the reasons why they believe that, but it's galling that you can't be, you know, like for low taxes and for a woman's right to choose, or you can't be pro-life and also like pro, you know, saving the planet from global warming, right? Like, the fact that we have aligned every single issue into only two boxes and you literally are in camp A or camp B is just a huge problem.
Well, how about a suggestion? If we've compromised, at least in considering taking these ads from various political sorts, because if we're going to be a political bulletin board, then countering views sometimes are going to be heard here. But what if we made a special time frame each and every week to review the political ads we were playing on the air, and we, you know, editorialized on those ads, Sage? Would that perhaps, you know, give context for the audience? What if, like, every Friday we sit down and we play out the ads that played this week and, you know, the political ads, and we crap on them if we feel it's appropriate to do so?
Well, I feel like no matter what the decision is we make around the dark money ads, 100% we should be doing that for all the political ads that we do anyway.
Well, that sounds like a plan then, T.
Yes.
subject to future change if we want to stop accepting, you know, dark money ads. But if we're going to take them, then we're going to add context and we're going to talk about them right here on the radio. And we're going to make time for it. Let's say every Friday, like in the happier, happy hour, we'll pull out the ads and, you know, we'll crap where appropriate. I'm looking at you at mostly doing the crap and got sort of a track record.
I'll do my best. That's all I can promise.
Sage, while I appreciate your hard work, man, I appreciate the effort you're putting forth. And of course, the capital and the will to build this network and try to do the right thing here in the state of Wisconsin. Someone had to do it. Glad it was you. Glad I can be a part. Audience, stick around. We'll listen to you next. 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates.
Thanks, Sage.
Stop us now! I love you.
He loves you, and he needs money.
Does not support any anti-democracy generation.
I like that. I like that suggestion. Take the money and then shit all
the Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the phones at 844-967-2789.
And Tom, Sage Weil, want to thank the CEO of Civic Media, but he is listening. He's still in the room with me. And I've got a tweet at Devil Radio. I'm going to read for his sake and your sake, Tom. If there are any anti-democratic ads, Deborah Hoffman tweets at us, you could have a comment after the ad like, this radio network does not support any anti-democracy candidates or their rhetoric. I don't think you should run those ads without a caveat. By the way, I'm a regular listener, Deborah. Thank you for being that. Yeah, what about that? A little disclaimer, a little real-time crapping on the ad. You know, like, sure, we play it. We took their money, but don't believe the hype. What about that?
I like that idea. I think that the Well, I mean, the reality is that as soon as you do that, you're never going to get another ad buy from that person again, right?
I'm shocked we're getting the ad buys from the right now. They don't know there's a new sheriff in town, Sage. They just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. More from our fair audience. Find people like L.A. Tom. How you doing, Tom? Say hi to Sage.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Kurt. First off, we the people are ultimately the government, and we must never forget that. Second off, thank you, Sage, for having the standards of what we should all be doing in vertical type markets, such as gayandlesbianpages.com does the same thing, where we don't allow anyone in that does not support LGBTQ rights. But that being said, one thing I was wondering about, Crudy, what if you were to say to the people that want to advertise, and they're these dark money groups, that they need to actually tell you where every dollar is coming from, and then you can announce where every dollar is coming from these ads? Because if it's just going to be a dark money super PAC, where they're just dumping money in, shouldn't you know where every one of those dollars are coming from?
Well, you will next January when they make their FEC disclosures. Tom, I don't disagree with the notion. You know, I get it. And I'd love to hold every Republican super PAC accountable. But
and Democratic.
And Democratic. None of them are going to respond to that line of questioning.
Yeah, it's a fancy way of saying no, basically.
Yeah, I mean, then just say no. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to make those disclosures. And quite frankly, it's not like Mitch McConnell's calling on behalf of the NRSC. You know, it's not like Mitch is placing the ads in Richland Center. We get some third-party buyer out of D.C., and we don't really have any connection. They just send an order. It's from an alphabet company. And then the day before they want you to run it, they actually give you the ad. And then you evaluate whether or not it's slanderous, libel, or anything else. And a lot of them,
and one thing,
I got to tell you, Tom.
That is, one thing that's different, Creed, one thing that is different is that we actually do talk about both sides of an issue actually in the show. So Earl's talking about both sides of the issues in a way because we actually uncover if there's something that the Democrats are doing that we actually uncover that. So I don't think that, you know, on the right wing, all you're getting is one way throughout the whole show.
Correct.
All they're doing, all they're doing is advocacy. Where we're actually having conversation and actually, getting information from we the people, where 70% of the people in this country want a Medicare for all system, where they want Social Security to last, and instead of Russian Ron going and trying to get rid of it. I think you guys have a good balance already in terms of what you do, and I really respect Sage in terms of you and Sage and taking the higher road and make people want your radio station so bad. It's kind of like play a little passive aggressive with these people.
never gonna get it, Tom.
That's right. You're the hot guy, Cree.
Yeah, that's the first time anyone ever said that to me.
Ever.
My spouse doesn't say that to me. Be well, Tom. Appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. We do certainly endeavor to be conscientious that there are other points of view. And, Dom, when you and I started this little endeavor, doing this little radio show, you were right in the Benghazi bed with Mitt Romney, if I recall, and you were often libertarian on many of the issues, not just smoking weed and legalized prostitution, but kind of across the gamut. And you're less contrarian, or at least you're less... We often see closer to eye to eye than when we started this little adventure together 11 years ago.
Well, yeah, it's amazing what happens when you and I get arrested observing a protest together, Crudy. I mean, things happened, and those things changed some of my thought processes. And I think, in that regard, I think I want to give a lot of room for lots of people to evolve and learn more and grow. That's a wonderful thing to do, and I encourage it for everybody. Fascism is fascism, man, and I don't like it if it comes from a Republican or a Democrat. In this case, it's always been on the Republican side. I mean, Scott Walker started this by arresting 80-year-old women and Army vets and dropping them down marble stairs because they were singing songs they didn't like in the Capitol. I mean, that's where it started, man, and that's still obscene to me and still pisses me off.
I know. Is CJ a fascist? We let CJ come on. He's in the queue right now. We let him on, but then we talk crap about him, right? That's all I'm suggesting we do with the Super PAC ads. Let's try to sneak a couple of more quick callers in. George from Slinger, Wisconsin. Welcome, George. What do you got for us?
Hey, George.
Well, hey, guys, I've heard you before. I'm driving through the area. I'm going to come at this in a different way. I'll suggest you guys, dark money, agree. If you don't know where it's coming from, I think out of fairness, treat both parties the same way.
Accept it all, then, right, George?
I will tell you, either take it all or don't take it at all.
Well, that's intellectually...
Doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what the content of the ad is.
Well, I cut him off because I want to sneak a few more in. I apologize, Sage. Robert from West Dallas. Welcome, Robert.
This is going to surprise you, listening to you guys through the years. I think you should take the money, whatever is viable, to make the station work, because you do so much good work, everyone there. In terms of getting a message out, I think basically getting the message out is more important, even if you have to sometimes compromise your principles a little bit, because if you don't do it, the listening audience is just the group that you already have. Running some of these other ads, it might fool a few of these folks to start listening to the station, and you can start changing some hearts and minds if they're tuning in. Otherwise, you may never reach them.
Robert, I've already compromised my principles by having Dominic on the show. Want to thank you all for listening. Sorry, no time for you today, CJ. Thank you to Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School pollster. Thank you to Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media, on the grow, taking the dark, sweet, sweet, dark money, Sage. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. And J6 live hearing tomorrow at noon, Democracy on Trial.
Sign on with the devil.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy.
He called me fat and said I was going to die on a toilet.
We're number one. We beat anybody.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
The devil's